Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values, what's going on in our culture, both locally and globally. It's always a pleasure doing this show. Thank you, listeners, for joining me on a weekly basis. Many thanks to my friends at Perry's Fine Jewelry and Ruth Chris Steakhouse for your sponsorship of this show. Even amidst this COVID-19 crisis, you've been so gracious to sponsor the show, and I hope what I'm about to say and what I have said has been meaningful to all of you to build your faith and not have fear as you face this crisis. My dear friend Ed Billick, my producer, has his mic open as we're going to talk about an interesting perspective on how to deal with your faith today to increase faith over your fears with the COVID-19 crisis. Ed, thank you for being with me today. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing very well, David. Every day is like not a groundhog day, but every day I'm taking a different task at the house, doing different things. How's your week's been going? I mean, what are you doing? You understand you're doing a little preaching on the side, some podcasting, but how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It's much like you. We have the same day practically every day. We have our Zoom calls with staff, and we talk about things that are going on. We try to make sure that we're in touch with our people who are going through difficulties.
And you guys did that wonderful donation we were talking at last week.
We did indeed. Our new church, Moments of Hope Church, has pledged to give away $1 million over the next several months. And what has struck us, Ed, amazingly, is how, yes, there is the COVID-19 crisis, which is killing people. But on the other hand, people need to work. And the area that is particularly being hit right now hard with hunger issues is the rural community. That some numbers of people are actually dying from starvation. They just don't have food. And we've heard stories about people who literally can't get food because they can't get out and are dying in their homes accordingly. So our commitment to feed the hungry locally and in the counties surrounding Mecklenburg is a real commitment to help give life to people as well. It's a real problem, and we have fed thus far, as we understand it, over the last several weeks, over 30,000 people.
Oh, very nice.
And it's a wonderful gift to this community. It's our gift as a church to this community. People have asked me, but that's crazy, David. You're a new church. You need to put aside that money for your own building. You know, the truth is, Ed, God will supply what we need when we need it. But the reality of hunger right now in our community exists. So we're giving away $1 million, and we think that's a great commitment. And you know what? We may give away more. As the need is there, it's not going to go away anytime soon. We want to continue to be a church that's generous and cares for others. Jesus said it well in Acts 20:35. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, it's interesting that the two words miser and miserable come from the same word source. And I think that's intentional, because you're never more miserable when you're a miser, but you're never happier. It's more blessed. It's greater. It's better to give than to receive. So we want to be a church that gives and not gets. And I know many other churches in the area are doing wonderful things as well.
Well, another wonderful thing you did, and you thought about it 2 years ago, and it fits so appropriately right now, is this book that you've written. It's out now, right?
It is indeed. And what's interesting is 2 years ago, when I was talking with my publishers about a topic that was needed to be addressed in our society, we concluded it was anxiety. It was the number one killer for teens with suicide. It also was the number one stressor in people's lives. So we made that decision 2 years ago, not knowing that the COVID-19 crisis would be in our midst. And amazingly, the book was released April the 21st this past week. It's available on Amazon.com, Thrift, other agencies.
And the name of it again?
Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. And the book is rooted in the idea that you are what you think. Anxiety is caused by your thought life. Anxiety is just an emotion. It's not a sin. It's the result of where your mind is focused. So if you change how you think and where your mind is focused, you will then be able to alleviate anxiety. And when we think about how much time we're spending focusing on social media and all the COVID-19 problems, anxiety raises its ugly head up in even greater degrees in our lives.
You know, folks, if you've been listening the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we've been covering different chapters. David, What chapter are we going to get into this week?
Yeah, from the book, Moving Beyond Anxiety. And again, folks, you can get it by ordering it at Amazon.com Thrift, and they'll come to you. And it's not a very expensive book at all. But the chapter today, Ed, we're going to look at is Ponder the Prepositions. Ponder prepositions that we use grammatically and how they can apply to our faith life, making our minds focus on those prepositions so that anxiety will lessen, decrease, and our faith will be built. Now, we have a phrase that we've heard our grammarian English teachers teach us through the years: don't have a dangling preposition. A preposition needs to have a modifier, a thing or a person that it speaks to. So we're going to look at that great person that all these prepositions speak to, our Lord God, our Creator, for those of us who are Christians, Jesus. And when we ponder the prepositions, we put our minds focus on prepositions about God, our faith will increase, the COVID crisis intensity will lessen, and we can be free. I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Can you see God as your shepherd, who shepherds your soul, who cares for you? One of the most amazing aspects of a biblical shepherd is he knows every one of his sheep by name. Isn't that amazing? Every sheep in the shepherd's sheepfold was known by the shepherd by name. And when the shepherd would speak the sheep's name, the sheep's head would pop up, because the sheep would recognize the shepherd's voice. That's what Jesus meant in John 10:27 when he said, "My sheep hear my voice." When he speaks to us, we hear his voice and we know it and therefore can obey it, and our fears will abate. I want to talk today about prepositions and pondering the prepositions to increase our faith. It comes from a chapter in my most recent book entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. Folks, if we want to overcome anxiety, we've got to change how we think. Anxiety is caused by our thought life, and wherever your thoughts are focused, that produces the feelings that you feel. So if your mind is focused on the severity of the COVID-19 crisis, and it is severe, but if that's where your mind wanders continually, you can expect anxiety to increase in your life. If you want to change the intensity of the anxiety's feelings within you, change the way you think. Ponder the prepositions. Think about prepositions. Now, for those of you who aren't grammarians out there,
our English teacher has arrived.
Here you go, Ed. Help me out here. Prepositions are part of our grammatical construction, and teachers say don't ever end a sentence with a preposition. It's called a dangling preposition. And here are a few I'll cover in today's time with you on this radio show. God is with you. The with is the preposition. God is in you. The in is the preposition. Jesus goes before you. Before is the preposition. Jesus is behind you. Behind is the preposition. Jesus is for you. The for is the preposition. Jesus is over you. The over is the preposition. Jesus works through you. The through is the preposition. And Jesus witnesses surround you. The surround is a preposition. And when a teacher says don't end a sentence with a dangling preposition, they're saying don't end a sentence with a with or over or through or surround, any one of those kinds of prepositions. A preposition needs a modifier, which is either a thing or a person. And when we look at these prepositions, we need to realize that Jesus should be the modifier. They point to him, and when you put those prepositions pointing to Jesus, they will increase your faith. Ponder the prepositions. Look at each one closely and see how they will build your faith and decrease fear and have anxiety no longer be a problem in your life. So more specifically, what does that mean? Let's look at the first one. Jesus is with you. You don't end the sentence with a with. It's a with whom that you use in your sentence, and it's basically pointing the with to Jesus. Some amazing promises in the scripture from the with. First of all, Psalm 23:4, the great shepherd's psalm that we talked about. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Someone once said that there are approximately 365 fear nots in the Bible. Now, I don't know if that's exactly true or not, but what is interesting is, if it's true, God says fear not for every single day of the year. And so often whenever you read a fear not, it's always followed by for I am with you. God's antidote to fear is the belief in his abiding, eternal presence. I love this verse from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. There it is again. Don't fear, because you have the presence of God. God's presence is the antidote to fear. The verse continues, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Interestingly, at my dad's funeral some years ago, I was walking down a hallway and it just hit me that my good friend, my daddy, was gone. And suddenly my knees buckled and I began to fall to my right. And my then 12-year-old son, Michael, reaches down, takes hold of my elbow with his strong right hand and keeps me from falling. That's what God does for us, folks. His righteous right hand upholds us when we feel like we're going to fall. That's the beauty of the promise of God. I am with you. And then Jesus gave us these words, which are so powerful, in Matthew the 28th chapter, verses 20. They are his last words before he ascends to heaven. He says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the ages. Now, I know that when my dad died, he whispered to me some final words that I'll always treasure within. They were his last words, and therefore I know how valuable they are. These were Jesus' last words before he ascended into heaven. Therefore, we should take them very, very seriously. What did he say to us? He said, I am with you always, even to the close of the day. What we have as people of faith is the promise from God. Ponder this preposition, I am with you. God plus us equals a majority. No matter what we face, folks, even the seriousness and problem of the COVID-19 crisis, God has promised to be with us. He will face the problem with us. Even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. A couple of weeks ago, my fever spiked. I began to cough. I began to wonder, do I have this? My doctor said, go get tested. For 24 hours, I wondered if I had the COVID-19 problem, if the coronavirus hadn't invaded my body. And during that time period, I had to continually pray Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, my God is with me. How do you face death? How do you face any problem? With the belief that my God is with me. He stands beside me. He will allow me to face any possible problem that I may need to face with his presence. The fear of the Lord is something we all need to remember, and that fear, though, is replaced by his presence when we believe in him, and therefore, again, folks, we can face anything. So ponder the preposition with. God is with me. Everyone out there, say that with me right now. God is with me. If you truly believe that, God plus you equals a majority, you can face any and every problem knowing that the Lord God of this universe, the strongest force in the world, is with you, by your side, facing your problems with you. God is with you. Ponder the preposition. Here's the second one. Jesus is in you. That when you believe in Jesus, he actually enters your heart. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:15. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Your body is literally a temple, and inside of you dwells the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, the literal person and presence of God himself. Colossians 1:27 says this, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Think about that. Our hope for our future glory, not only to face problems now, but our eternal promise that we're going to live forever is the belief that Christ is in you. Though our physical bodies are going to die, we'll have an eternal resurrection body that will continue to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. How about this verse? John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus said. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now think about that. Not only does Jesus live in us, but we live in him. As Jesus said in John 17 in his prayer for all of us, as Father, I am in you and you are in me, so my disciples are in me. Think about that again. Jesus not only lives in you, you live in him. And that means wherever he is, we are. Now, again, contemplate that. He is in you. So not only is the preposition with powerful, that Jesus is with us no matter what we face, he literally lives in us, giving us the strength we need to face any problem, yes, including the COVID-19 crisis.
David, he made us out of the image and likeness of his own. So, I mean, it ties together.
We dwell in that image, Ed. Think about how powerful that is. And Ephesians 2:6 says that where Jesus is seated, there we are with him. Well, right now he has ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father. He rules all over the world. That means that right now, if we're in him, we are ruling with Jesus over all of the world. Think about that.
You know, folks, if you do have the book, and I encourage you to pick it up, we are on page 93, and I'm just following along as David is jumping around the page, but just so beautifully describing the pondered prepositions. It's chapter 8.
And it's called Moving Beyond Anxiety. It just came out this week via Amazon.com. It was my attempt to address the huge problem of anxiety that exists in our culture. And today we're covering the chapter, Ponder the Prepositions. As the coronavirus has caused so many people huge anxiety, well, let's deal with it, folks. Let's change the way we think about life. Let's ponder the prepositions that are promised to us in the Scripture that Jesus is with us no matter what problem we face, including the problem of potential death. Jesus is in us, giving us the strength inside to move forward and to face any problem in life. And he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But when our life is in him and his life is in us, he gives us like a vine and a branch, the sap inside of us to strengthen our hearts to face any and every problem in life. Ponder the prepositions. And when we come back, we'll look at that Jesus goes before us. What a great promise that is as well. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear this program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can download the podcast from beginning to end to hear what I'm trying to suggest all of us need to have in our hearts more of, and that is pondering the prepositions. It's a chapter that I have in my latest book, Moving Beyond Anxiety. It just came out this week. Its whole premise is that if you can change how you think, you'll change how you feel. And so changing our minds, attitudes toward life will change how we feel, especially with the feeling of fear that too many people are exacerbating in their hearts because of the COVID-19 crisis. And Ed, there's something really neat that WBT's doing with my show on Sundays.
You know, David, because of where we are with everything and the anxiety and fear people have, WBT management has decided to air your show twice. Now, I don't know, folks, if you've paid attention, but at noon, as will be this Sunday, so if you miss part of the show or you're joining us late, kick it back on at noon. Of course, you can always go to the podcast and listen to the entirety. But we are on twice a day on WBT.
Many thanks to the management for doing that. And if you have friends that you know might need this message, call them. Let them know that at noon it's going to be rebroadcast. Because I really believe if you understand these prepositions and focus the prepositions on their rightful modifier, I think you can have great faith in your life. You know, our grammarian English teacher said, don't have dangling participles. prepositions. Yeah. Don't end a sentence with a preposition. You need to have it modifying something, pointing to something or someone. So these prepositions we're covering are pointing to Jesus and to his promises to us. We covered in the last segment that Jesus is with us. He is in us. And in this segment, Ed, I want to talk about Jesus goes before us. Here's a wonderful verse. Mark 16:7, the angel said, "But go tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus goes before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Now, what's interesting to me is the angel to the women says, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter." He singles out Peter. Now, why is that? Because Peter was suffering more than any of the other disciples regarding how he had
sinned,
disappointed Jesus.
Denied him
three times. Not once, not twice, but three times. The ultimate betrayal. We talk about Judas' betrayal. Well, Peter betrayed him as well. But in Jesus' love and forgiveness, he said to the angel, the angel said to the women, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter, I go before you to Galilee, and there I will meet you." And what's so cool is we see the story in John 21, the disciples return to their fishing industry. You know, when you have failed at something and feel awful, you go back to what you know you do well. They went back to fishing, and while they're fishing, they notice the one on the shore making breakfast, and that one on the shore says, "Come to me." Peter jumps out of the boat, rushes to the shore, and there is Jesus meeting him. And three times he asks him, "Do you love me more than these other things you depend upon?" And three times Peter said, "Of course I know that you love me." A three-time reassurance of Jesus' love for the threefold denial of Peter in the garden. He went before Peter, though, to Galilee. He was already there waiting for him. And what a great statement, Ed, isn't it, to know that wherever we go, Jesus is already there waiting for us. In his love, in his forgiveness, in his power, in his strength, wherever we go, Jesus is already there waiting for us.
This is the part, to me, the resurrection is our promise for a future life. It's the obvious. It's the cornerstone.
And not just heaven. That he goes before us now to meet us in any future problem
any
we
problem
may
we're
face.
Dealing with as we speak.
So think about this, Ed, that Jesus goes before our next hour. That an hour from now, wherever we may be, Jesus will already be there waiting for us. That he's there for our tomorrows. People get anxious about tomorrow. We should not. Why? Jesus is already in our tomorrow waiting for us. He's in our eternity waiting for us. In John 14:2, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" He's already in heaven preparing our eternal dwelling place. He goes before us in eternity. And listen to this verse, Isaiah 45:2, "I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron." All of those difficult things that are confronting us in life, those seeming impossible mountains, those huge barriers, Jesus says, "I already go before you to those exalted, strong strongholds, and I've already torn them apart. I've already opened the door for you." Now, if you really believe that, Ed, would not anxiety decrease?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's such a great promise that Jesus goes before us. And here's another one, that Jesus is behind us, that we need to claim the fact that he is behind us. Now, why is that important? Because every soldier knows that he's got to have his fellow soldiers who have his backside. You know, great soldiers have friends, a band of brothers who say, "I've got your back." Because you can't see behind you. You've got to have eyes behind you.
Who else can't see? You're a sports guy. How about in the game of football?
There you go. The quarterback, the most important person in his life, is the offensive guard that protects his blind side. If he's left-handed, it's the offensive right guard. If he's right-handed, it's the offensive left guard. There was a movie called The Blind Side. It's that guard that protects the quarterback's blind side, because if he's looking down the field to throw the ball, he has a blind side behind him that's got to be protected. Well,
and for us, that's Jesus.
And that person is Jesus. Jesus is our blind side. He has our backs. And in Ephesians 6, interestingly, there is the description of the full armor of God. There's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shoes shod with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword which is the word of God. But what's interesting in that description of the full armor of God to defeat the powers and principalities of darkness in order to combat the evil one's attacks upon us, there's no description of any armor on the backside. It's not there. And one idea that people have given through the years is that's because the church is supposed to give an onslaught to the gates of hell. We're on the offensive. The gates of hell are on the defensive. We're moving forward. And then that means that our backside is protected by Jesus himself. He is the one protecting us from behind. He is our blind side. He's got our backs. We don't need to worry about, for example, in Africa, the lions always attack the wildebeest. They are the stragglers in the herd. They sneak up behind them where they don't know a lion is there, and the lion attacks and gets his food that way. Well, Jesus protects us as stragglers. He's got our backside against Satan, who is a roaring lion looking for whomever he can destroy. And Ed, I just think that's one of the great promises of the scripture, that Jesus has our backs. He has our blind side. He's protecting us from the enemy attacks when we can't see what's behind us coming toward us. And let's claim that preposition today too, folks, that Jesus is not only going before us, he is behind us. You shall go out in haste, Isaiah 52:12, and you shall not go in flight, for I go before you, and the God of Israel will be your, I love this, rear guard. That God is our rear guard. He is our blind side. Again, folks, don't worry about someone sneaking up behind you. God's got your back.
Let's get one more in before the end of the segment.
Jesus is for you. Now, isn't that a great promise? He's for you. Let me read this scripture, Psalm 118, verses 6 through 7. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph over those who come against me. I love that. God is on my side, that God is for me. He's on my team. And when God is on my team, you know, Michael Jordan, this new...
The Last Dance.
Yeah, that's come out, that's captured so many people's interest. He made every teammate better. A lot of the reasons people think he is the GOAT, the greatest of all times, is because he made his teammates better. Well, interestingly, Jesus is on our team. He makes us better. Our team wins because we've got the best player in the universe on our team. We've got the GOAT, the greatest of all times, the Lord Jesus Christ, on our side. And what's also interesting, Ed, is Romans 8:31, Paul said, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Well, these things, what's Paul talking about there? He's talking about Romans 8, what had been stated beforehand. First of all, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 11, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. That we groan, though, but groan with the Holy Spirit who lives in us, allowing us to face all of life's groaning problems. Verse 28, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, that the Holy Spirit in us is conforming us to the image of Jesus. Then to verse 31, what shall we say to these things? Those magnificent promises of Romans 8. Then Paul says, for God is for us. If that's true, who can be against us? Folks, God is on your side. He's for you. He wants you to win. He wants you to claim all of his promises and walk in his strength. When you do so, when you really believe in the pondering of the preposition for, that God is on your side, you can face any problem, including the COVID-19 crisis, because you have victory in the one who lives in you, through you, is behind you, and for you. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. I'm going through my book, which just came out this week. It's entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. It is available on Amazon.com, Thrift, other online sources. I hope you all will read it. It's a way to change your thought life so that anxiety will increase in your decrease in your life. The truth is, what we focus on causes us to feel what we feel. Why not focus on the promises of God, which will allow anxiety to decrease in our lives?
And if you're just joining us, we'll be back on at noon today here on News Talk 1110 WBT. Management has allowed us a second time each day. Plus, of course, you can go to the podcast. But because this content, this message from David is so vital in these times we are living.
Let's defeat this COVID-19 crisis, folks. And we defeat it by faith, by believing in the promises of God. So here are the prepositions we've covered so far. Jesus is with you, he's in you, he goes before you, he's behind you, and he's for you. Here are three more during this segment. First of all, Jesus is over you. Psalm 121:8, the Lord will watch over your coming out and your going both now and forevermore. That means that every single day, Jesus is sitting on his throne watching over you. He knows your next step. He knows what you need. He's therefore ruling your life as the king of the universe. If you trust him, folks, with every area of your life, if you give him every second of your day, believing that he is the king over all, the king over you, your fear will abate. You know he controls everything. You can take it off your shoulders, put it on his, and know he will carry it. Ephesians chapter 4:5, God is over all. Now think about that. God is over all. There's not one thing that he doesn't control. This coronavirus is controlled by him. It may look like crowns come out from the coronavirus, but our king of the universe, Jesus, wears the crown that controls the coronavirus. We can trust him in every area of our lives. Ponder the preposition, folks. Think in your mind a lot about this reality. God is over you. He sits on your throne. A throne is elevated on purpose so that you look down on the subjects as the king who come before you. God is on his throne. He's over us. He looks down on all of our problems. He controls everything. Believe it, and your anxieties will begin to decrease. Another one, Jesus works through you. Remember, you are the hands and feet of Jesus. He uses you as his body to help other people. And remember this verse, Isaiah 58, verses 8 and 10. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily if you pour yourself out to the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted. Then shall you be lifted up from your darkness and your gloom as the noonday. Here's the promise from God. Let God's Spirit work through you to go help other people. Go through your contact list on your phone and send text to people and encourage them. Make a phone call to those who may be lonely and encourage them. If you can go visit someone who is in need, go do so. If you have the opportunity to deliver food to hungry people, do so. If you can give money to help give clothes to the naked or people who visit the prisons, do so. Because here's the promise. God wants to work through you. And when Jesus works through you and you are giving your life away to the hungry, the needy, the oppressed, the disenfranchised, when you do that, folks, your own anxieties lift. Your own gloom is like the noonday sun shining down upon you. It is a great and wonderful promise that all of us need to claim. We find our lives when we lose our lives in something greater than ourselves. You are the body of Christ. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. Go serve someone else. You'll find your problems are really not that great. And you then are lifted up and your anxieties start to go away. Jesus works through you. And here's the final one. Jesus' witnesses surround you. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us. Now, the question is, who are these great cloud of witnesses? who are surrounding us as we run this race of faith in this life, as we go toward the finish line, I think you can look at several possibilities. First of all, in Hebrews 11, all the saints who lived by faith beforehand, the Adams, the Abrahams, the Joshuas, the Gideons, all the people of faith outlined in Hebrews chapter 11, they are in the cloud of witnesses cheering on you and me, encouraging us to run the race faithfully to the finish line. Their voices are crying out from eternity to all of us, keep moving, don't give up, persevere, endure. I think, secondly, they can also be the angels of heaven. Hebrews 1:14 says that the angels are here to serve God's people. They could be the ones crying out in heaven, keep moving, don't give up, the crisis is huge, but let your faith be bigger. You can make it, run this faith with endurance. And I think, finally, they could be the loved ones who've gone on before us, like my mom and dad. Ed, your mom just passed away, and it's been a great grief for you, but yet you know she's among the cloud of witnesses cheering you on toward the finish line. And I know that my mom and dad are among those as well. Can't you hear them speaking to you? Some days I think I hear my dad saying to me, keep moving, son. Don't give up. You're going to make it. And as you run this faith with endurance, these surrounding witnesses are cheering us on. Get quiet. Listen to them. Jesus' witnesses surround you. That's the preposition. And they will help you finish strong in this great race of faith. Ed, aren't the prepositions wonderful?
Gosh, it's good stuff, David. Good stuff. You know what we've been doing, folks, in the last few shows is we end with a prayer. And I think you have a special prayer based off of this chapter.
What I want to do is to take this chapter from my book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. I want to pray the prepositions over all our listeners right now, especially as we're facing this corona crisis. Folks, pray with me. Daddy in heaven, in Jesus' name, as a Christian, I pray in Jesus' name. Daddy, our loving Father, I pray that you would be with everyone who's listening. Be with them in all they face. Be with them in all their trials. Not only be with them, but be in them. Be associated not only with and in them, but connected to them. Let them know how you are living inside their hearts. And when they face a problem, they're facing the problem with you inside their hearts. And Lord, go before everyone. Help them realize you're in their tomorrow. You're in their eternity. And you are going before them to prepare a place. They need fear nothing because we have the promise that every step we take, you're already there waiting for us. Lord, let us know you're behind us. You're protecting our backside, those places where the enemy attacks, where we're so vulnerable. Help us realize that. Help us believe that you're for us. You're on our side. And that no matter what we face, you are for us. You will help us get through it. And we have that great promise. Lord, you're over us. You're ruling over everything, including the coronavirus. Help us to believe your sovereignty and your rulership. You work through us. Help us to serve somebody else this week, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And as we do, our own anxieties, our own depressions start to lift as we allow you to work through us. And Lord, help us hear the voices of the great witnesses who surround us, the angels, the great saints of the Bible, our own loved ones who've departed and gone before us. They surround us. Let us hear their voices as they encourage us to run the race of faith with endurance to the finish line. Lord, let us ponder the prepositions. As we do so, we have your strength and your presence. We can face anything, including the coronavirus, with your very promises. We thank you, Lord, for listening to this today. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Talk with you all next week.